Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again with my fantastic host and business partner, Al McDonald. Al, what are you saying these days?
Looking forward to our podcast currently because I think this is going to be a fun one. We've already gotten off to a good start and it looks like this is just going to be a fun podcast.
I think you're right. There's good energy already and I'm happy to announce that we are welcoming Jess Johansson to the podcast today. Jess, welcome.
Thank you.
I want to dive into your bio because holy smokes, are you ever accomplished? And I want our audience to hear just who we're chatting with today. So you are the Chief Human Resources Officer at Canada Goose. You are a veteran in the area of human experience, having honed your expertise through a variety of industries throughout the past 20 years, from renewable energy and engineering to manufacturing and technology. Jess joined Canada Goose in 2022 as Chief Human Resources Officer and is responsible for driving the company's human resources strategy across its corporate, manufacturing, and retail teams. She oversees all global teams within HR, including talent acquisition, employee experience, training, and global policy. Jess was most recently a Chief People Officer at Two Cows. Love them, a great company, an internet services and telecommunications company. Previous to Two Cows, she held related positions with Capgemini, Brookfield Renewable Energy Corp, Johnson Controls, and Business Development of Canada. Jess is motivated by out-of-the-box strategies that create engaging and impactful workplace experiences. Her strength is creating, setting, and leading the trends rather than following them. Jess holds a Bachelor of Commerce honors degree from the Asper School of Business from the University of Manitoba with a double major in Human Resources and Marketing. Outside of work, she can be found at the movie theater, working out, or enjoying a meal with friends. Ah, my heart. Me too. And before we get started, we have to say a huge thank you to our good friend, Samantha Lloyd, for the introduction. Sam, you are such a great connector of really good people. So thank you. So Jess, thank you for doing this. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, I read a bio like that and prior to reading a bio like that, I think, oh, I've done some pretty cool things in my life and pretty accomplished, eh, Al? And then you read something like that. Oh,
yeah. Humbles you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humbles you a little bit. But no, I'm really so glad to have this conversation. I think we're going to have some fun today. So if you're up for it, you ready to dive in?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. So Canada Goose, everyone knows Canada Goose, globally recognized luxury brand, right? Teams across multiple continents. Why don't we start here? Like, how do you intentionally cultivate a cohesive and authentic company culture that resonates across, you know, such diverse culture and geographical landscapes? Like, we're talking about a massive company here.
Yeah. Well, I'd be lying if I said it was easy. It's not easy, but it certainly is one of the most, I'd say, meaningful parts of my work. Shaping a culture that really connects everyone globally, but yet has to feel authentic to each of us wherever we find ourselves. And I think our Canadian roots, you know, we're headquartered in Canada, our Canadian roots really give us a hugely strong foundation. But we've always said that our culture has to be co-created, right? It can't be like driven. I mean, it's modeled top down, but it can't really be driven top down. It needs to be created locally. So that really means listening, collaborating, building it, really building this culture with our people and not for them. So we bring that to life in a number of different ways here, like our personal wellness days, for example. We give people time and space to take care of themselves in whatever way they need. Or we celebrate culture and heritage moments throughout the year. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach, but we work with the teams to shape those moments locally so they, again, resonate in each region. It really comes back to connection for me. When people feel supported, seen, and able to really bring their full selves to work, that's what makes a culture really stick. So no matter where you are in the world, wherever you find yourself, it's that connection, it's being able to be authentic in themselves that really drives the culture and makes sure that it is cohesive worldwide.
Jess, I love that term of co-creating that culture, especially as it relates to different parts of the world, because let's face it, how we build a culture in Canada is going to be different than Australia or in Asia or what have you. So where did that idea come from? Is that something that was at Canada Goose and you just jumped in, or is that something that you kind of brought with you from previous experiences?
I'd say it's a bit of both, right? Okay. We've had to learn that here at Canada Goose, obviously, as we've grown substantially over the last few years. But for me, I really come from the model of, I don't know everything. I wish I did, but I don't. And so it's so important to really understand and not take for granted and make assumptions that there is a one-size-fits-all approach, because that just does not work. And so for me to operate authentically, to admit that I don't know everything, I think that's like a driving force as to why it's so important that we co-create the culture, that we understand, that we listen. What resonates in the local market is so, so important.
That doesn't come up enough on the podcast. So I'm so glad that you said that and you're willing to say that publicly. Hey, I don't know everything. And I remember when Al, me and Joe, my business partners, came together and we said, we're going to work for the good of the client. We each brought in expertise that we had built prior to creating our company. And in the beginning, it was a little counterintuitive. We were all a little bit worried about going to a client and saying, hey, I know you have the relationship with me, but what you're asking about today isn't my expertise. So I'm going to introduce you to Robin, or I'm going to introduce you to Joe. I think we were all pleasantly surprised that people appreciate when you admit, you know, and you don't try to BS them, that, hey, I don't know everything, but I have really good people that can support you. And it sounds like that's what you've done. And I think if that's coming from you, Jess, and that's trickling down, then obviously that's why you've built the culture that you have and you're having success with it. The other thing I wanted to just touch on quickly, because I think it's such an important thing, and we chatted about it on the first podcast, because I had an experience when I first came into my career, I wasn't bringing my authentic self to work, yeah. Right? And the story I told, so people will hear this twice if they're listening to successive episodes, but I would wear this suit and tie and I'd carry a briefcase that was empty, quite frankly, and I'd walk really quickly around the office. Right? Because I felt that was who I needed to be. And I didn't have a lot of success during that time in my career. It wasn't until I said, listen, I'm not going to be for everybody, but for the people that I am for, it's going to work out really well. And ever since then, things have. So I would love for you to expand it. Maybe it's more you can talk about the Canadian office, because you're not in all the offices.
Right.
But how important is that for people to be able to show up as their true self?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if there's anything more important than that. It is so key for me. I always make a point, you know, this is a little example, but I always make a point of asking folks, how do you pronounce your name? I want to make sure I get that right.
Yes.
Name is so important. And some of us don't do a real great job.
Agreed. Yes.
At respecting, you know, the different cultures and the diversity that comes in. And so things like that are so important. And you have to show up as yourself. We are a better organization when we have different ideas from folks that come from different backgrounds and different geographies, different areas that can really help bolster us and provide such key and rich information that help us be better each and every day. So being authentic is, first of all, trying to be someone you're not is exhausting.
Yes.
Like completely exhausting.
Totally.
And just silly. Like, why are you putting on airs? We hired you. We hire people. We don't hire employees. We hire people. You come with your full self. And so being authentic is absolutely the only way in my mind to be. So very, very important.
Hey, Jess, I do want to dive down a little bit more into what you talked about, where you co-create your culture. But before we get there, I want to, again, explore a little bit more into what you talked about. You know, I don't know everything. And I think to me, that's a real shift in what used to be the norm.
Yes.
Just in the sense that leaders were expected to have all the answers.
Yep.
And it was, you know, a sign of weakness, if you will.
Yeah.
If you ever said, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, almost had to make something up just to make it look like you did know what you were talking about. So I guess my question is, where did you see a shift, or did you see a shift, or how do you think that has changed over the years?
Well, I'm not sure it has entirely, to be honest, Al, but I think for me, it was just a matter of, you know, being vulnerable. And I think, as you've indicated, I think that resonates with folks. And I don't want any of this, my role or anything that we do, any program or initiative that we put on, has to be authentic and really part of the fabric. I don't want anything performative. And so if I don't want anything performative, I have to admit when I don't know what I don't know. I don't know how else to be. We hire people because they bring experience, knowledge, skills that we need as an organization. And everybody has an opportunity to learn from those people and help us be better. And that is the main thing. There's no way in heck that us as leaders know everything. We just don't. We have to rely on our people.
Yeah, that's a great mindset. So let's dive down a little bit more then into how you've created the culture. So what I want to explore is, what kind of impact have you seen from this grassroots model, if you will? And maybe just as importantly, how do you go about measuring the success? Like, how do you know it's working?
So first of all, empowering our employees to drive change and giving them the opportunity to do that has been a real game changer for us. We have, you know, a couple of examples. We have an inclusion advisory council that brings together employees from different regions, roles, levels to really shape our inclusion and belonging strategy. That's another area that I find is a little bit performative in most organizations. And I just, in my core, I just push against that so vehemently. This, again, has to be lived and shared and developed from co-created with our folks. So this Inclusion Advisory Council, really importantly, they operate without executive oversight. I think that's important. I want to repeat that, right? Mm-hmm. They operate without executive oversight. And that autonomy gives them real influence. They're not just sharing ideas and talking about things. They're really driving decisions and shaping programs that reflect lived experiences. So, you know, in our council, this Inclusion Advisory Council is also behind our employee resource groups, right? We call them community groups now, but they are employee-led spaces that foster this connection and advocacy and visibility. And so you talk about measurement, right? How do we measure this? We measure it through engagement in a variety of different ways, not just a survey, but we look at who's showing up, how people are participating in our environment. How is our workplace experience really resonating with them? And how have we changed as a result of it? And that's really what we look to see and how we measure our success there.
Can you share an example of maybe there's something where you've done some of that measurement and it has impacted and created a change?
Yeah, I think the quickest one, maybe I'll share two. I mean, the quickest one are obviously pulse surveys and some of the feedback that we'd received from there. We've really made, I think, some significant changes. We'll call it, you know, some of the total rewards opportunities that we have. We've significantly changed our offering in that space. That was a direct result of the feedback that we had received. But I think even more importantly is having, I'll say, live town halls, live information sessions where leaders are standing in front of the group, again, admitting what we don't know, admitting where we made a misstep, admitting our faults and showing our warts, and really perhaps giving permission to our folks that that's okay, right? We know, again, we're not going to get it right all the time. And I think just that shift in culture, that we don't have to be perfect, that we're not going to be perfect, has really cascaded throughout the organization. And it's really resulted in folks feeling more comfortable in their skin and more comfortable being able to be themselves.
So Jess, it sounds like talent and people are a really, really big part of Canada Goose. So can you talk about, obviously that area is always evolving. Can you talk about how Canada Goose invests in its people? And I don't just mean from, you know, skill development, because that's pretty much table stakes, but just in terms of long-term career journeys within the organization. And then if you can share an example of something like that, that would be really helpful.
Sure. Yeah. I love this question. Very proud of what we've done. We've built tools that help. And I'm going to say not only tools, it kind of sounds so cold when you just say, oh, we built tools to help folks. But one piece of it, certainly. So we've built tools that help people see what's possible, not just, you know, aspirationally, but actually actionable. And so our career development framework is about clarity. It's one of the things that we've built recently. It creates total transparency and empowers the employees to take ownership of their development. And it really outlines career streams, progression levels, and the competencies needed to advance. We focus, I mean, your question was good, not just about skills, right? For us, that is table stakes, right? Of course, you're going to have them. For us, it's the competencies that really drive the progression through our organization. Another thing that I'm super proud of is an introduction of a tool for our performance management program, and it's called Confirm. And it's a peer-based evaluation platform that emphasizes recognition and feedback across teams. And it's really changing the way we talk about performance, and it directly influences growth across the company. Because again, I hate to, you know, dog on leaders, but there is no way that a leader with 10 direct reports can understand the impact that all of their direct reports has on the organization. And this peer evaluation platform, I like to say, helps us find the quiet doers, helps us find those that are making an outsized impact on the organization, that are influencing folks far and wide, right? That we probably wouldn't have known of without the opportunity to have this peer-based evaluation platform. So that, to me, has been a game changer. We also have other initiatives like how to be a BA. A BA is our brand ambassadors in our retail store. And it's a program that sends corporate teams into our global retail stores to learn from the front lines. They are the beginning of our customer journey. So, so important and critical to our overall success. And so the ability to share information back and forth and how we can better support that customer journey is super important. And we've also now flipped that around, and we're bringing our retail brand ambassadors into HQ, into our headquarters, to build new skills and perspectives. Because again, it's just You talk about co-creating culture. We want to make sure that there are no silos. We are a complete organization that needs all spokes of a wheel to be working together. And so bringing folks together and collaborating has been really eye-opening for us. So we really want to open doors. We want to lean into the strengths of our folks. We want growth to feel accessible and really show people, our folks, that their next step could be anywhere.
Wow, I love a lot of the things that you said in there. So from a personally selfish point of view, I love the fact that you use spokes of a wheel because, well, that's another story. But the one thing that I really liked in there, and Robin, I'm going to pick on you and I'm going to get you to share what we've done, was this peer review and how it helps peers talk about what their other, you know, peers have done. Robin, why don't you share what we've done with our group? I kind of put you on the spot.
Well, there's a couple things, and I will get to that, Al, but there's one thing I do want to pick up on that just said that really, I think is really important. And just, you're dropping these boulders of gold this morning that I think is so important because they don't always come up. It depends, you know, people are talking about different stuff on the podcast. But one in particular, I think is so important, especially for us as a growing organization. We're nowhere near the size you are, right? But it's still, the lessons or the clues are still really relevant. Mm-hmm. And one that you said was your employees can see the opportunity that's ahead of them, right? And I think that's so important because in my day-to-day, and I'm working in the benefit space, I've seen so many people have trouble with, more so on the retaining side, because they see these blocked channels of promotion and people, really talented people, get frustrated because they don't see the opportunity. So the fact that you created that path and that opportunity to have that visibility on, oh, well, if I want to go here, here's what needs to happen. And here's the kind of the skills I need. So I think that's really important. On our side, we've started doing a couple things. We did our scorecards, which were a game changer. And that was something new for us as we were growing. And like we've talked to so many people like yourself, in hindsight, should have brought in HR way sooner. Should have done it. Oh, well, right. But now she's here. I'm so thankful. She's such an important partner at our discussions and our table.
Yeah.
But we also introduced, and kind of to your point about removing executive, not ownership, but I forget how you phrased it, but having the ability to make decisions and come to have discussions without anything to do with leadership there. And we recently, our HR person went out and said, hey, we want to get a pulse for how everything's going. What do you like? What do you dislike? It's completely anonymous and we're never going to see it except for the results. And I got to tell you, Jess, it was kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, right.
And you have to take your ego out of it.
Yes.
Because in my mind, oh my God, I'm a fantastic leader in this company and everyone should be as passionate as me. And you realize not everybody is. They have different views. And it's interesting. And I'll never forget, Al is our CEO of our company. Besides my business partner, he's also our CEO. And I remember one time we're driving to Toronto and he says, I got to have a bit of a difficult discussion with you. And it was something that I had said.
Yeah.
And Jess didn't even realize it would come off that way. And I remember, I'll never forget this conversation. I'll remember this in retirement. And I said, that wasn't a difficult discussion at all. In fact, I'm glad you told me because it wasn't even on my radar that that's how it might come across to someone who's not in my position.
Right.
Right. So I think that's so important. What you've brought up, like you said, you're not dropping nuggets of gold, you're dropping boulders of gold today. So I love it. But I want to continue down that path because, and this is maybe a little bit selfish because we're getting into my world a little bit, but my day to day is spent with people like yourself, right?
Right.
Very enjoyable. I mean, this is what I love to do. And I mean, we were joking around at the beginning, like, oh my God, we get paid to do this, like have conversations. I mean, this is amazing. Best kept secret in the insurance industry, I always tell people. But a lot of people I speak with mentioned that managing evolving employee expectations, and especially since COVID, but particularly around benefits and well-being, you know, it's gotten a lot more complicated. I would say we've got five generations in the workplace now. Are there any areas where you're feeling any pressure to adapt or innovate right now in that respect?
So always feel pressure to innovate and adapt. It's hard in this day and age, I think, staying ahead of, I don't want to say ahead of the curve, or, but there's just wild changes, right, in the world today. And so I'm not going to say I feel pressure, but certainly there's a desire for me to have flexible, programs that meet a variety of needs for our folks. And so again, for me, partnering with providers like yourselves, I need partners. I need folks that are thinking in a modern way that can help bridge, you know, the distance between the asks and the desires of our folks versus what is realistic to provide. And so again, from a health and wellness perspective, for example, we've partnered with a broker who understands our mindset and approach to health and wellness and have been able to, of course, we're not going to please everybody, but we've really designed a program that is flexible and that can meet the needs of a variety of folks. And again, that's something that we implemented, gosh, it's going to be coming up on a year ago now, you know, a flex plan. None of this is new in the world, but a flex plan, a more modern plan that, again, meets the needs of our employees where they're at. So I think to answer your question in kind of a roundabout way, it's partnering with folks on some of these key issues, challenges that are coming from our folks that's really important so that we can really balance, again, the needs of the organization with that of our offering to our folks.
You know, I was sitting down, we were recently joined a group called the Benefits Alliance and, you know, the brokers across Canada, and there's a lot of great people in there.
Yes.
And I remember talking to a colleague at a recent conference, and I had said to him, I said, if your client doesn't consider you to be a partner and vice versa,
that's right,
then it's not going to work. The value is not there for either of you. And I remember when I first met Hannah Yardley over at Achievers. Fantastic. She's so brilliant. I fanboy over her all the time because she's just, and she's been such a great support of ours. She turned into a client. And I remember sitting with her afterwards and we had lunch and I said, can you tell me why we won the business eventually? Mm-hmm. And she said, I always saw benefits as a means to an end until I met you and your team. And I realized we had a partner. And I ran back and I said, let's put that on the website right away. Right. But it's true. Exactly. And I mean, we recently had Success Leaves Clues podcast awards and Hannah won a top connector award because she's been such a great partner. And I like to think we've been a great partner as well. And when you have that relationship and you feel that way, great things happen for on both sides. Right. So I'm so happy to hear that's your view of things. So, yeah, very inspiring to hear that people do consider their brokers partners. So wonderful to hear. Jess, can we take a bit of a 90-degree turn?
We can.
Okay. Because now we're going to get a little personal. Now, you can talk about personal, you can talk about career, or maybe it's a mix of the two. But I don't know if you know Christine Song.
Yes,
she's been in the industry a long time. We love Christine. She's a good friend. She's been on the podcast. We've had lunch together. And she gave us this great advice one time over lunch. She said, oh my gosh, I love your podcast. I listen to every episode. But I always love finding out a little more about the person behind the role. Mm-hmm. So I always try to pepper in a bit of a question that might give us some of that who's just behind the role. Let's face it. You've been in the business enough time. Everyone faces obstacle in life and their careers, right? It's part of being human. Can you or would you be willing to share any obstacles that you faced and how you overcame them?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Obstacles. There's one in particular that comes to mind. Earlier in my career, I took on a role that looked great on paper, real good on paper, but really felt in my gut that it didn't align with who I was, right? Back to what we talked about, being authentic and true to yourself.
Yep.
It really didn't align to who I was or how I wanted to lead. And the obstacle wasn't just the job itself. I mean, that's probably enough in itself, but it wasn't. It was really the internal pressure to stay, right? It's a big organization. What are you thinking? Crazy to leave, you know, that kind of thing. And you just have this pressure to make it work, even when everything in me said it wasn't the right fit. And it took me a while to admit that, but eventually I left. I did leave and I left without a next step lined up. So that was hard. But when I look back now, I think, gosh, those hard moments when I felt like a failure and felt like I was failing are really the moments that challenge you to grow the most. And actually, I consider myself quite fortunate that I was able, like, I left without anything to go to. I mean, most individuals
that's
can't
scary,
do that.
Right? That's yeah, totally super scary.
And I don't advise anybody to do that. But for me, it really did challenge me to grow the most. And it pushed me to learn more about who I am, who I was, and what I was capable of. And so that's one example that always readily comes to mind when I think about obstacles. But I do want to say that I have been extremely fortunate in my career, in that other than that one I just described, I really haven't had many obstacles. Or if I did, I was clueless to them and just kind of persevered on. But yeah, that is one that comes to mind readily.
Do you ever think back and think, what if I didn't have the strength to do that at the time? Oh. Like how life would have turned out? Because I know I go back on those moments and think, thank goodness, right? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I think we just learned in that short snippet. I think we learned a lot about just there, because you talked about overcoming the obstacles. And I think you're right. You know, that's where you really find about your true character. But it was the second part of it that actually impressed me a little bit, where you said, you know what, other than that, I heard gratitude in there.
Yeah.
But I also heard that you probably, listen, like Robin said, everyone has obstacles in their life. You just dealt with them.
Yeah.
You overcame them. And in thinking back, you know, now it's like, now I can't even think of other than that one. I'm willing to bet you had lots and you dealt with it. Yeah. And you overcame it. I think we learned a lot
exactly
about you. Yeah. Just in that short snippet of an answer.
Thank you.
So yes, let's jump into the final question and maybe we'll learn a little bit more about Jess. I'm sure we will. So a society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about, and this could be from a personal or professional standpoint, can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
First of all, it is a great question. Can I ask you a question and where that came from?
I stole it.
Okay.
There are no original thinkers anymore. I readily admit that I stole it. I won't give away my source, but I did not come up with that.
But he did bring it to the podcast, so I was very happy about that.
It's a brilliant question. So enough stalling, right? I should answer that. So I think for me, the best way that I can answer this is, for me, it's about building foundations that support people to thrive. I'm really big on, we're all humans and we just need to treat people like humans. And so I guess maybe I'm a bit pragmatic. I'm not an HR leader that looks for big bangs, but building foundations that support people to thrive and don't rely on one person to keep them going, right? So we've created programs here, or we're creating programs here, and systems and spaces where many people can see themselves and shape their path and feel like they belong. And to me, that's just so important. So if what we're doing here today at Canada Goose help someone take a step that they didn't think was possible before, that's the kind of tree I want to be planting.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you shared that. And you referred earlier to being your authentic self. And I think that answer really emphasizes that and it makes it show through.
Thank you.
And I've noticed a theme today, Jess, with you, and I'm enjoying it more as I get to know you even better. And I'm looking forward to future conversations, because I'm learning that people and recognizing people are really important for you. And that's a theme that I've heard consistently today. Yeah. So I do want to recognize again our mutual friend, Samantha Lloyd, for connecting us and making this happen. But another person, Isabella Gambin,
yes,
was a dream on your team to work with. So thank you so much, Isabella, because you just made this so much easier. And yeah, it's been a real pleasure. So hopefully that relationship continues as well. Jess, for listeners who are interested in learning more about what you're doing, what's the best way to reach out?
LinkedIn would be fine. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much again for sharing your journey. I know this episode is going to do really well and resonate with a lot of people. That does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you want to connect with me and Al, please feel free to reach out on LinkedIn. And success leaves clues, my friends. We saw it here today. We'll see you next time.